every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the tree, stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Rosie on the House, your outdoor living hour. Saturday morning tradition for 33 years here in the great state of Arizona. The second Saturday of the month, we're talking trees, and we have ISA certified arborist John Eisenhower in studio with us. Good morning, John. And yes.
Good morning. Yes, I do. I got a very special guest with us today. Gary Peterson is the new branch manager at Save a Tree here in Phoenix. And he's got an interesting little background that I was interested to find out. Like so many people here in Arizona, he's a transplant. You know, we talk about transplanting trees. There's more transplanted people here than there are natives. My wife is a native of Arizona, proud to be married to her. But Gary, tell me a little bit about you mentioned you're from Northern Ohio.
Northeast Ohio, that's correct. From a little farm town called Minerva, Ohio. Little background on me, I come from a farm of about 200, 300 acres, something like that. Grew a lot of corn, grew a lot of soybean, grew a lot of gardens. Was in the FFA, 4-H, did all that growing up. Graduated high school and went to work for Uncle Sam for about 4 years.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. And what was it like to move to Arizona from Northern Ohio? What were some of those differences you noticed right away?
I always like to grow tomatoes back home, and growing tomatoes in Phoenix, Arizona is extremely tough to do. I've tried to grow them inside, outside, hang them upside down, just can't get it done.
I know, and you're not alone. I've heard that from so many people that come back here. They say back east where we're from, or the Midwest, we can just throw a seed in the ground and it grows. But come out here and it's a different story, especially tomatoes. And tomatoes, you know, Romeo, how are you doing with tomatoes? I know you got quite a few plants on your side. Do you do tomatoes at all?
It's been a couple of years since we've done tomatoes. But the only thing we would ever have to worry about is I never started from seed. I'd always get from the nursery and get the little starter plants.
Yeah.
You got to really watch out for the splitting on the end, you know, the water balance and getting them right. And what I learned is, depending on what type of tomato, you know, if you've got a little cherry tomato, don't put it next to a big, larger variety, because the watering's different.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to do the same amount of water on different varieties, it never balances out right. So I have to plant them separately if you want varieties. And you really got to watch the bottom of them splitting for your water balance.
I found too that you really need, it's really, you know, dependent on the varieties. There are some varieties that do much better here than others. So you want to be sure you're consulting your local nursery for those go-to varieties that are really successful. The next thing is you got to have good, deep, well-drained soil. And that's what's true in the Midwest. They've got 2 feet of a beautiful, well-drained soil full of organic matter, and it's so easy to, you know, to develop roots, because the top growth in tomatoes is all dependent upon the roots. And what's the saying, Romy? As go
the roots, so go the shoots.
That's right.
Good to know.
And especially true of tomatoes. In fact, I was told that if you get your little tomato starts, if you actually plant them too deep, we always are telling people, don't plant your plants too deep because they'll get root rot. Well, tomatoes actually can grow roots right out of the stem, out of that stem on those juvenile plants. So they say plant them deep and you'll get more root activity more quickly. So you actually tip them sideways. Don't bury the actual root ball way, way deep in your soil. Just kind of tip the plant sideways so that soil grows over the part of 2 or 3 inches of the stem as well, and it'll give them a kickstart because it'll immediately push out roots into the soil from that stem, as well as the roots that are in the little root ball. So when you take those little starters, plant them out and tip them over, get some of that sometimes they're kind of bending and curling anyway, the stems of those tomatoes. You know, take some of that curled stem and push it under the soil, or mound some soil over the top of it, and it'll give them a nice head start. Do that now in the winter. In fact, if you're getting your, you've got your greenhouse or your, you have your tomatoes indoors now, get them started right now. And by January, February, when we can start to put them out, you'll already have that nice root system developed. That's a really give you a head start heading into the spring. And hopefully you'll have a little bit more success. And those of you who do have that kind of hard clay soil that you're having struggles with, start adding some nice organic material too. Start digging it down a little bit. Introduce some soil amendments, maybe a little bit of fertilizer. Get that soil prepared too so that in the spring you're ready to put that new plant in place.
And I will say every tomato I've grown here has been in a raised garden where it's just got nice bags of like Mel's mix or, you know, a nice potting soil. Else I haven't tried yet, you can order them at totallytomatoes.com. It's a grafted tomato plant because it's in the same plant species as potatoes. Your roots are potatoes and the shoots are tomatoes.
No
it's
way.
A grafted. It's called ketchup and fries plant.
What's it? Ketchup and fries. I love it. Yeah.
You can get it at totallytomato.com and order them.
That sounds like
I don't know the variety
winner.
Of tomato they put on there, and I haven't tried, but it sounds fun.
It does. Now I've got something to do this weekend.
There you go. Well, let's get to talking trees. Welcome, Gary, from Ohio, and thanks for joining us here. And you're with Save a Tree, the new branch manager. Is that different than a leaf manager? At Save a Tree? Is there
a little bit, yes.
Is there a root manager?
Yes. The branch manager title is a lot different than the leaf manager. You're correct.
And we, if you're following along in our home maintenance calendar, you know, we're talking about, we've always got the tree of the month, and it's the white mulberry tree. I hadn't heard of a white mulberry. What's the difference between a white mulberry and a regular mulberry?
Well, the white mulberry tree is a mulberry tree that does really, really well here. And it's gotten a bad rap over the years because it contributed, 50, 60 years ago to a lot of pollen in the air. And it was actually banned. Nurseries couldn't sell them. You couldn't buy them. In fact, we have several of those old school mulberry trees in our yard, and they're kind of grandfathered in. If you have them in your yard, you don't have to take them down. But they are big pollen producers, and they've really kind of fallen out of favor over the years. Until very recently, some white mulberry trees have been reintroduced that are low pollen producing, and the female trees produce a really nice fruit, kind of a blackberry type shaped fruit. And a similar kind of a taste. And the immature fruit is white, but as a tree becomes more and more mature over maybe 5 or 10 years, they'll start to turn purple, and eventually they're a very dark purple. And as I'm saying that, some people are saying, yeah, really, really purple. And they're the ones that they can be tracked into your house very easily, so be really careful. And some people would never even tolerate the mess. Because for about 2 weeks, our mulberry tree puts on all these mulberries. Our dogs love them, by the way. The dogs just gobble them down, which is another story. But no, they do make a carpet of a lot of mess. So you'll trample them down, and if you're not careful, you can carry that dark purple color into your carpeted homes and cause some grief there. But no, they're just a super cool tree. There are some Pakistani mulberries now that have a mulberry. Our mulberries are about, at maturity, are about an inch and a half long and about maybe 3/4 of an inch wide. The Pakistani mulberries can be 3 or 4 inches long and about an inch in diameter. They're monstrous, and they're just incredibly good fruit producers. We've got Lila and Michael Ledner, who own the Simple Farm in North Scottsdale, good friends of ours, have a bunch of Pakistani mulberries. They capture as many of them as they can. They put a big bed sheet out underneath them every day, and then collect as many as they can. And then they'll clean the sheet and then put it out the next day, and the new fresh mulberries will come down. Otherwise, you got mulberries coming down on top of old mulberries, and it's really hard to pick the good ones off the ground. So they've actually turned a an umbrella upside down and hung it and hung it in the tree. And so they can capture, you know, just a few. And that's enough every day where they can take them and eat the ones off of there. And then at the end of the day, they can dump that out and hang the umbrella upside down again. But they're really fast-growing trees. Look up Pakistani mulberry at your local nursery. Ask for them. You will not regret it. They're super fast-growing. You can have them producing mulberries within a year or two.
If you need something with a shade tree, now they are big trees, so you've got to have the room for it.
They are. Yeah.
And great shade trees. And our mulberry, we planted two when we moved into the house. And talk about hardy. The one, we call it our Jesus tree because it's come back to life so many times. The goat stripped the bark off of it. Our neighbor ran it over when it was in its infantile state. It's gone. I've cut it off down to the root three times, and it's just as big as the tree right next to it that's never been. It's come back as a multi-trunked.
Yeah.
And is just as big as a single trunk that was planted at the same time. I mean, talk about hardy. And even though they're not native, they're
super
thirsty.
Durable.
They can handle the heat.
Yeah, they do handle the heat really well. They love any water you give them; they'll turn it into leaves. So you can kind of moderate their growth by limiting the water that you give them. But they do love a little bit of water.
The white mulberry, you can learn more about it at rosieonthehouse.com. Just look in the quick links, and it'll take you to a page all about it. But just to restate, our tree of the month is the white mulberry, but the one we're talking about because you can plant it is the Pakistani mulberry. I agree, I know there's certain restrictions on the pollinating.
I think you can get both of them. I would check with the nursery and find out, but the Pakistani is the one that we've been really caught a lot of headlines lately because it's such a big fruit producer.
So we've got John Eisenhower and Gary Peterson talking trees.